All right, on a Friday morning from Borgata, boy, it feels like the summer's moving fast. We've already had an Eagles game, and it was pretty good. It was fairly entertaining. By the way, with our show, hopefully you're entertained by our show. Couple ways you can take our show in beyond just the regular radio. Remember, that app is always there to listen to the show live or later on. Very easy to get the Odyssey app on your phone. If you're on the older side and don't know how to do it, that was like my problem a couple years ago. Just have someone help you. Get a youngin' to help you. They'll show you how to do it. It really is good because you can take it with you anywhere. YouTube, obviously, another option. Watch our show on YouTube all the time. And by the way, both of them apply not only to live, but you can go back later in the day. If you're inclined to listen to our show but you miss a portion, you can go back later in the day and check it out. By the way, Time's Yours is later today. That's in about 3 hours. Get the calls into the Time's Yours line. What stood out to you the most with that Eagles game last night and the me and Jack competition? What do you make of how it's gone down so far and what's up ahead? That and more for Time's Yours, 215-238-4500. By the way, John, I have an update on the smelling salts being banned by the NFL.
Oh.
Not quite.
Oh.
So it was the word is like a confusing memo that the NFL sent out a couple days ago. Smelling salts have been banned for teams to issue to players, but they can bring their own to the games, and if they do, they can use them. So just so you know, the smelling salt has
important
not,
clarification.
Yeah, it really is a difference.
So it is.
Like all the players thought it was banned, and the NFL's like, no.
Why are they banning them? Because they're harmful?
They believe that it can mask a concussion, and a player goes back into a game, which is a reasonable possibility.
Why are they allowed? Like,
I guess there's a difference if the player chooses it instead of the team hands it to you. I mean, legally, that could be a difference.
Yeah.
Could be. Right?
Well, I'm sure that's it. Why else would they do this?
But the point is, if we're really concerned about player safety, then what are we doing?
Agree, John. Absolutely correct, my friend. Yes.
All right. All good points all around. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Anthony in New Jersey right now. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Joey D, Johnny Hendricks. How we doing?
Anthony, what's up?
Hey, a couple things from last night's game, man, which was a pretty good game. Hey, Joe, man, you got to – it's okay that we lost the people that we lost.
Depends. It depends. Go ahead.
Yeah, other than, like, Isaiah Rogers or Darius Slay, the rest of the guys – the hell with them. They're gone already. The hell with them.
Well, that's a strong statement when you're talking about Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, man. They were good players, too.
I like what I seen from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, too. And that's a tragic what happened to him. He tore his ACL. He's done for the season.
No, he didn't, actually. He went down and got carted off. Apparently, the imaging was positive. There's no ACL tear. We don't know the extent of the injury, but he didn't tear his ACL.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Thank God he didn't, because that would be, But
now, if he was playing for the Lions like he did 2 years ago, I might have rooted for that
ACL
tear.
Here's the thing. Look, you cannot judge our defense, our outlook for this season off of last night. Our defense is made great by players who were not allowed to take the field.
Well, you can have concerns, Sean, on guys that could become. Yeah,
I do not have concerns.
John, Kelee Ringo's competing for a starting spot. That's a concern.
No, Kelee Ringo, that has been addressed. He's losing a starting spot.
Until someone wins it, I have concern.
Right. Hey, John, I like what I seen from Gabe Hall. I like what I seen from Ty Robertson. I also like what I seen from Sykes. He made an unbelievable play.
It's like his hands.
I believe in Howie went younger, and it's like the younger and the youth is working out for us, getting rid of some of the older guys, man. Our edge rushers, they got to come around the edge a little better. We don't know who's the guy there. But the interior D-line, man, and Jahad Campbell, I like what I've seen from him flying around the field. Our defense is going to be amazing, man. And we're going to be good, man. We're going to be
the
good.
The defense will be incredible because you've got Jalen Carter up front always taking two or three. You've got a nickel back who can do everything so we don't get caught with our pants down in the wrong personnel grouping, because basically Cooper DeJean can cover up all your mistakes, and meanwhile he can also cover everyone while also pretending to be a linebacker if they decide to run it. That those guys weren't out there on the field. Zach Bond wasn't out there on the field. The guy who can do everything, bridging the gap between the front end and the back end, the communicator of it all. Like, this, our defense wasn't playing last
year. James, you agree with John? Is he Pollyanna here, or is he right?
No, that's what I said, too. Look, I think you can look specifically and say, I wish Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson had looked better in one-on-one coverage.
Yes.
But no question. Don't think you can. I think they could have looked better if Joe Burrow had less time to throw because Jalen Carter's in his face, or because you know they're getting coverage from Quinyon Mitchell on Jamar Chase, and they're covering the other guy, or this or that, or whatever. So look, I wish they had looked better, but I am absolutely with John. I'm not overreacting to last night.
So I don't agree. I mean, I get it. I do get your point, but I also don't want the Eagles to be so dependent on their main four. You know, the main four obviously being...
But that's how the defense is built.
No, but hold on a second. Main four obviously being, you know, as we know, Bond and Jalen Carter and the two great corners, Quinyon and Cooper. But here's the thing. They had secondary... I don't mean the secondary. I mean second tier players last year that were really good. Milton Williams, Sweat.
We didn't see those
better guys
like a Jomo and Nolan Smith.
I understand,
and,
but I don't know... And I don't think they have as many of them this year. I mean, last year they had Slay.
I love the fact
that Kobe.
We got Landon Dickerson talking about how Moro Jomo is impossible for him.
I think he's
to
pretty
block.
Good. I think that
Landon
guy's pretty
Dickerson,
good.
The guy who's an All Pro, is saying Moro Jomo is impossible to block because he's so low. His center
kind
of gravity is low. His arms are so long. He's so strong. He presents problems to every offensive line he faces. Landon Dickerson told us that.
Like me in basketball in the post.
Oh, but Jack doesn't play in the post.
Fritz
so.
In the, I'm going to take him in the post. Yeah,
dude, if you
post
did that,
up,
if you just
boss.
Backed him down constantly and bully-balled him, it would be the greatest thing
James,
that's ever
you
happened.
Have no idea, because you've never
you
seen me play.
You have no
idea how crafty I can be in the post.
I believe you could dribble. I believe you got some hands.
Dude, but it's not just that. I'll pull out stuff. Yeah, I'll throw it off the rim just to get the rebound. You know, like, I'll do what I need to do.
You do the put the ball on the ground, fake hook shot, pick the ball back up and then move around the dad move.
Yeah, 5-on-5, you can't do it, but 1-on-1, you can, like, trust me, right? 1-on-1, crafty, like Manu Ginobili. All right, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Linkin Park, how about it? They're going to be in town really soon, coming up in about a week on August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center, obviously in Philly. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. Here's how you win the tickets to Linkin Park today. Give us a call, 215-592-9494, and give us the best coming-of-age character of all time. In all the movies, all the TV shows, all the books, all the plays. We don't normally get play answers, but we could. because the reality is, it's back in the 1980s. It was a late summer 1980s at one point when Stand By Me came out. And what a great movie.
You want to see a dead body?
Yeah, exactly. You got these four kids. I mean, it's an all-time coming-of-age movie with coming-of-age characters. By the way, I felt like the 80s in particular had a lot of coming-of-age movies, more than we get now. But put that thinking cap on, boys and girls, and give us an answer, 215-592-9494. For the best coming-of-age character of all time, best answer wins the Linkin Park tickets. John, what are you thinking?
Holden Caulfield, Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger.
Just take a Mount Rushmore while you're at it.
It was such a huge deal to me, that book, when I was a teenager.
Yep.
And I haven't read it for a really, really long time, but Holden Caulfield talking about how everyone in the adult world was phony. It just rang true to me. And, you know, maybe it was true sometimes. And
well,
maybe
now,
an adult, I look around and I think about, man, Holden Caulfield was right. That teenage kid. You know
when a coach gives you an answer, when you hear coach speak, that's phony talk.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. All right, Devin, a coming-of-age character. What are you thinking?
So I'm going to pivot. I was going to say the Goonies, but I can't remember the name of the main kid in that. Is it Andy?
It's Mikey.
Mikey in the Goonies. Okay, so maybe I will stick with the Goonies.
All right, Mikey from the Goonies.
Sorry, I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep.
That's okay.
Right now.
It's okay. So, Devin, that's the second time you've complained today about being tired.
I'm very tired.
Do we get to 6, 7, 8? Is this like LeBron?
I mean,
not wow. 5, not 6, not
like,
7.
Like pi, the limit does not exist.
Not 8. No. Well, pi is 3.14. So over under, Richie, 3.14 from Devin of complaints today.
Well, we're almost there.
All right, Seltzer, come in. And again, this goes for everyone. 215-592-9494. There are massive answers for coming of age characters. Seltzer, what are you thinking?
Trey from Boys in the Hood.
Oh, that's another one. Boy, is that another one. He does not get in the car at the end of the movie. He survives. He lives. He doesn't kill. Trey is a great answer. Ooh, you going to learn, Trey.
Oh.
You gonna learn.
Furious is so great in that movie. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is unbelievable.
What
in that movie.
A tremendous, tremendous
Lawrence Fishburne
movie.
Is unbelievable in so many.
You are very correct about that, John.
Powerful. So big answers abound. I'm going to take one that I'm not even sure if it is. I'm going to use it as an example of help me understand if is it. I kind of think it is, but not in the classic sense. Is Arya Stark? A coming of age character.
I think she is actually.
She journeys out there for about three freaking seasons,
and she ends up killing the Night King.
She
I do. I think so.
As an evil assassin,
I would say Sansa probably is a more classic coming of age, but Arya certainly could be qualified too.
They're both trying to find themselves in different ways, but find themselves.
Yeah,
a dagger wielding assassin.
Yeah,
Arya's is just a little bit unconventional.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, hers is the more
that
fighting.
That is really badass.
Variety. Yeah, yeah. All right, so give us an answer for a coming-of-age character. Man, there are a lot. 215-592-9494. Tanner McKee may be coming of age in front of us. Look, I think that guy, I agree with what James said. I feel pretty confident he's one of the 20. James went to 25 best quarterbacks in pro football. I can co-sign that right now. Maybe higher. But do I think teams without a quarterback should be looking at him? Yes. Do I think a team like the Steelers that has Aaron Rodgers for maybe only a year could be very interested in him after this year? Yes. There are teams. Help me out. Who's the Giants quarterback? Oh, they got the kid in the draft. So they
Russell
got him.
Wilson.
Who are the teams we'd be
Russell
talking about?
Russell Wilson to the Giants. Remember.
Yeah. Who are the five or six teams? Because there's always a couple that just don't.
The Saints are the obvious one because of the Kellen Moore connection. And they drafted the guy in the second round, but they don't really have anything.
How about if Dak flops? How about if he gives you another
Dak flops,
nonsense
still
season?
Paying him forever.
Yeah, that'll be an expensive problem.
The Jets?
Browns?
The
Browns?
Justin Fields.
Yeah. Browns got 500 quarterbacks, but they might not be any good. I agree with you, the Jets.
Steelers.
Steelers for sure.
Yeah, Rodgers this year, but maybe as an option for the future.
Yeah.
It would be fascinating to know what the Eagles turned down, because I will tell you this. I feel really confident. I don't know, but I just tell you off the top of my head. I feel really confident someone made some kind of offer this offseason, and the Eagles didn't trade him. So, you know, I think we know why they believe in him. He was really good last night, man. Really good. Let's talk to John in Allentown. John, good morning.
Joe, my guy.
Johnny.
You're back in the lead, man. My money's looking good.
How much did you bet? Who'd you bet with?
I got $100 with my coworker. We both listen to the show every morning. So we're invested. But he listens to the afternoon show, too.
Sure.
So
a very good show. Well worth listening. John, let me ask you a question. How annoyed is your buddy with Fritz? Because now his money is dangling out there. Is your friend really starting to get irritated with Fritz?
Yeah, how surprised is he?
When he realized he quit playing tennis, basically, he was freaking out. I said, dude, all Joe has to do is make this race 400 meters and jog the whole way, because Fritz will drop about halfway through. Dude.
Fritz can run long distances. The one thing I know, like, he runs 5 miles, 7 miles. Like, he's done it before Phillies games. Like, he got up to 11 miles one time for Phillies wins in a row. Mm-hmm. So, like, distance, he won't drop. I guarantee
you. And you think he's there now, James? Like, he could be good enough now?
For 400 meters?
Yeah.
We're talking about he ran 11 miles at once.
Well, I didn't
you know
if
I mean?
It's 3 years ago you're talking about. I'm saying you think.
It was a couple years ago, but my point is he's not going to not be able to make it through the distance. Yep. Like, you could theoretically run faster, but Jack's not going to drop. Yeah. He's not going to stop running.
Yeah. John, I think one of the issues, though, is when I'm winning, it seems to get in his head. So, like, would it be in his head halfway through the track and that causes him?
Well, that's maybe. The thing. If the race, yes, I think it would. I think it's possible when it starts to hurt and the lactic acid starts to settle into the muscles. If you're close, because I think that's what happened with golf. The day starts to stretch on and whoa, wait a second. Joe actually played well the first five holes. Yeah. Wait a second. Joe is ahead. Wait, this wasn't supposed to happen.
But he did rally.
And the pressure starts to get
on. Got to give him credit. He did rally. And
okay,
that's what
but he lost. He melts while rallying.
He melted. John, what stood out to you the most with the Eagles last night?
The play of the secondary. Kelly Ringo, more than anything. Like, it definitely told me that he can't be the starting corner, man. Like, we're in trouble. If he's taking a starting corner spot, then we're really, really in trouble.
So I don't think he – so let me be clear, John. I don't think he's going to be the starting corner. Now, I don't know who will be, but I don't think it's going to be him.
I hope they take another look at him maybe at safety, because he's got the kind of measurables that – and he's got some closing speed. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
He's safety.
Yes, but there are a lot of really talented players who are lining up to play safety here too. Like he's been a cornerback, and he's supposed to be the starting cornerback for this team. He's not where he needs to be.
He's not going to win.
He's not experienced enough. It looked to me like yesterday motion came across. I guess it was the first touchdown or the second touchdown. Motion came across, and the adjustment almost was unfamiliar to him enough that he was a step behind. And that's part of why he overcorrected on his angle for the tackle, and disaster occurred.
John,
he's just one step behind far too often.
John, here's what I'd add. Last year when Vic Fangio had him for a full year, Fangio still had him behind Avante Maddox, who we all knew was slipping significantly. And he was behind Isaiah Rogers also. Like, he was at best their number five last year. So, or six if you count Cooper DeJean. So, like, I don't think he's going to be their starting corner. But they better figure it out. Give me an answer, John, a coming-of-age character.
Now, I thought you wanted a coming-of-age movie.
Not a movie. I mean, it can be a character within that movie. Yeah, character.
If it's just a character, I have to go with Luke Skywalker, man.
So that's interesting.
It is to an extent. Yeah,
I think it is, yeah.
To an extent, it is. I would agree with that. 215-592-9494. We're trying to get Fritz to come of age. Now, I want to win, but I do it like I said yesterday. I want to put some hair on the guest's chest. Let me play some audio for you. James, let's play the audio of A.J. Brown that you have in the system, because when I heard this, he's talking about football, and he's talking about fighting through. But to me, he's talking about what Fritz, I don't think, is. Like, I hear A.J. talking football, and I thought Jack Fritz the whole time. You be the judge. This is good stuff. A.J. was on a podcast. Listen to A.J. Brown talking about fighting through adversity.
What does the word grit mean to you?
Just pushing past a point where you, your brain, or anyone else thinks you can go.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Have you had that? Is that how often does that come up in an NFL season where you're like, I'm at the limit right now, but I got to dig deep and go past that?
A few times late in the season, especially when your body doesn't want to respond the way you want it to. And you just keep going. You just, you know, just find a way to, you know, to get through it.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, those are some of my best days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's an example of that?
Like playing hurt the back half of the season, get my knee drained twice a week, get my knee drained right before the game, the Washington game, go out there and have a good performance. Mm-hmm. Then the following week, and shoot, even the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl.
How are you feeling now?
Ready to go.
It's really good audio. I mean, it speaks to obviously the character of A.J. Brown, the competitor that he is and the athlete that he is. I will be interested to see if Mommy and Daddy, otherwise known as Spike and Ike, have the guts to play that for Fritz on the air today. Because I think they're in this, like, do we challenge him? Do we not challenge him? Do we baby him? Do we put a bib on him? Do we berate him? Like, I don't think they know what to do with this guy. I think they'd be well served to play the audio of A.J. Brown and say, hey, dude, toughen up, man. Toughen the hell up. All right, Devin, I'm twisting the knife a little bit.
You sure are.
You know, haughty hammer, humble hammer.
I will say.
I'm twisting that knife a little bit.
I don't know if it's toughening up, but watching Ike, I was standing near Ike throughout most of tennis, and he was, like, he was more vocal than Jack was. Like, yelling, like, but at Jack almost out of frustration.
I'm sure.
So,
by the way, let me be clear. Even if Jack, like, dug down, he wasn't going to win tennis. But it says something about his character as a human. And it could impact the next two.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah.